Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another great episode in our series celebrating the summer of 1985 at the movies. Tonight, we explore John Badham's film, American Flyers, with actress Alexandra Paul. Looking over your resume, you've done so many movies that mean a lot to us, and actually American Flyers was among the first four that you did. But when did the decision actually get into acting occur to you?
When I was 18, and I shot American Flyers when I was 20. I actually turned 21 that summer of 84. So when I was 18, I got my first job.
Wow. That was very, very quick. When you're 18, you decide to start acting, and then, it picked up right away.
I think what happened was that acting picked me more. I was modeling in New York City before going to college. Mm-hmm. I took a year off between high school and college, and during that year off, my modeling agents wanted me to take some acting classes so that they could send me out on commercial auditions, and mm-hmm. I did, and it was like a whole new world opened up, and within a couple months, I was hired to star in a TV movie for ABC called Paper Dolls, and mm-hmm. I was 18, and I ended up not going to college. 3 weeks before I was supposed to go, I decided to give acting the good old, college try, I guess, or un-college try. And I called my parents and said that I needed to make the most of what had started, and that was that.
Did it feel natural right off the bat, or did it take time to find your footing and kind of know your identity as an actress?
Oh, it took me a decade to know my identity as an actress, to feel confident as an actress. Mm-hmm. I always thought that they really should be hiring a petite, bodacious blonde. It's what I always thought. Like, why did they want me? It's ironic that years later I worked with a lot of petite, bodacious blondes and felt totally comfortable. Like, I should be there. So I'd obviously already come into myself. But I think I was natural at first, and then I went through a period of not being natural, and then feeling comfortable again. Probably I would say that. I've been an actress now for 28 years. Mm. So one goes through many cycles.
Yeah.
Depending upon what kind of acting classes you're taking, your self-confidence, the roles that you're in, that kind of thing. But
so
Becky in American Flyers was a character that I actually based on a woman in my acting class in New York City called... Her name is like Georgianne, mm-hmm. Georgiana, and I was, it was my first acting class, and she looked like she inhaled life, like she had really big eyes, and she spoke like that, and so I used her and my friend Rita Vitalis, who's kind of a hippie chick, as mm-hmm. sort of the model for the character of Becky.
So were they aware that that you were modeling the character on them?
No, they weren't at all. No. I don't think I knew Georgianne enough to be able to tell her that. And I might have told Rita years later. I'm godson to her boy, so might have told her years later. But, yeah, she was my model for the kind of the hippie side of Becky.
But right before that, you did Christine. And talk about a movie that's lived and gained in reverence over the years. What kind of experience was that for you? What did you get out of that?
That was a wonderful experience shooting with John Carpenter and working with Keith Gordon and Dom Stockwell, who are now actually directors and writers in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw them actually last month because, of course, Christine has become a cult film, and so all the four leading actors and John Carpenter and one of the Christine Cars got together in Texas last month, which was really nice. We all have really fond memories of working on that film. I was much more scared doing Christine. I think I don't really like my work in Christine. I actually like my work in American Flyers, but Christine, I was quite horrified by actually when I first saw the movie, when I looked at myself and just felt that I did not do a good job. But
well, I was going to ask you about that because obviously you've been in films of note, and anniversaries come up, and you know we're talking about American Flyers today. And so when you have the occasion to look back at some of these early films, are you able to distance yourself from the experience and actually view them as films? Or how does that work on you?
Well, I don't view them literally. Like I don't watch my work again. It is painful unless I have to do something like pick a scene from one, or if it's I have to do commentary on a film, things like that. I need things to jar my memory. But it's painful to watch myself because not only is it painful to see myself as an actor and the mistakes that I made and you know, hopefully now don't make those mistakes anymore. I probably make others, but also see myself as a person then. You know, I had a lot of pain as a 18, 20, 20-year-old, and I was awkward, and, it's as if all of us, when we look at photos of our high school photos and things, we think of ourselves, we remember how uncomfortable we were.
Yeah.
And fearful, and for me, I was neurotic, and, I'm so much happier now at 46 than I was at 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's so ironic that this culture, and especially movie culture, reveres young people because people who are older are actually happier and have more interesting things going on.
Yes, yeah.
I had a lot going on when I was in my 20s, but...
Well, and movies are such a time vault, so I can imagine it takes you back to the place where you were in your life as much as it does the experience of actually shooting these movies when you watch them.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And, I was basically happy but, you know, it brings you back to the love affair, the boyfriend that I was with at that time and, the fears and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So American Flyers, when that comes around to you, was it an audition that was brought to your attention?
It was an audition. I actually auditioned for John right away. Went in, and I remember that I auditioned with an actor. This is unusual. Usually, as an actor, you go in and audition, you read with the casting director, and the director is sitting there watching you. This was a time when they paired up actors, and I happened to be paired up with the young man who'd worked with John on Blue Thunder. And so that's the name of the film, right?
Yeah.
Right. So they were like so I go in, it's my audition, right? And they go in and they're just chatting and the kid's funny and lovely and I'm thinking, okay, this is my audition, but I'm not like funny. So don't try and be funny, Alexander. Just let them, don't try and horn in on their party because it'll just be awkward. It's not you. So I was really quiet. And then we read, and I left thinking, oh, God, I didn't make an impression on John Babbitt because I wasn't, like, chummy and all that stuff. And he and the other guy were chummy. But I got a call back, and I never saw that young man again. Not to say that, he didn't get a call back. I don't know what happened to him. But it was a lesson for me in just being yourself. And so I was proud that I didn't try to be somebody I wasn't to impress John, even though I felt that this guy was sort of taking over my audition. So I auditioned and then went back and auditioned again. And then I remember auditioning, I think I was one of the first cast. And I think I had to read with the guys. And I remember seeing Kevin Costner and then pointing out that that was the older brother and me thinking, that's the older brother? Why does he have a mustache? And he looks so normal. He didn't look like a movie star, which is so – that was my first impression of Kevin Costner was that he didn't look like a movie star. Why'd they cast him? Which is like, how wrong was I? Right? Because
actually, he had
shot Fandango – no, he'd shot the one, the Silverado, but it hadn't yet come out. And that was the thing that put Kevin Costner on the map. And then I think he'd shot Francis, but he'd been cut out of Francis, so nobody knew who Kevin Costner was at the time that we shot American Flyers.
Yeah. He broke right, pretty soon after that. Did he break after that or around the same time as...
No, after we finished shooting, but before American Flyers came out with this wonderful, charming performance in Silverado.
So when you get the part and you read the script and you're building this character, I mean, you saw these two influences come in. How much dialogue did you have with Mr. Badham about your ideas for character?
You know, I remember we had a rehearsal period, and John Badham was known as an actor's director, but actually I don't recall that we actually talked a lot about character. I don't recall that. I know that I had copious notes about her, and I took my acting classes very seriously and did a lot of homework about Becky's subtext and her character and this and that, and so I was very serious about that. And I think that actually, as an actress, sort of, for some films, made me kind of stilted because I was so in my head. But one thing about Becky, I think, is that I do have kind of a kooky side, but I never really let it out because I really wanted to be a serious, earnest, good girl. And so Becky allowed me to do that, and it came really naturally. And because I had these inspirations of Rita and Georgianne, then that helped too. And then, of course, there was the look, which really helps you when you get the look of the character. That helps you a lot. And the hair was something that, you know, I had really awful hair. My hair was growing out of a perm, and then it was the 80s, so purple hair was sort of a sign of rebellion. So I went to, before we started shooting, I went to the makeup trailer, and we planned on dyeing my hair partly purple, a streak of purple. And to do that, you have to bleach it first, the section first. And when we got to the bleach part, we were like, oh, that kind of looks good. Let's just leave it like that. So hence the bleached hair. So that helped a lot, kind of getting her kind of look, symbolizing she was kind of a free spirit.
Well, in terms of how you were directed in the film, you mentioned Mr. Badham being an actor's director, and he actually wrote a book a few years ago about directing actors.
Yes, I read it. It was very good.
Yeah, it was very entertaining. What was his approach to you, and how did it differ from the other filmmakers you've worked with?
Well, I think he kind of left us alone. I don't recall him getting in. I don't recall him getting in and telling us what to do before we actually did the scenes. We rehearsed, so that was helpful in terms. And we, so I think it was a lot about him sort of staying out of our way and letting the relationships develop. I was a little uncomfortable with David Marshall Grant. David is a gay man, and he wasn't out then. And so I thought he just didn't like me, and I was uncomfortable. I don't know how he felt having sort of a love relationship with me, that, you know. And so I didn't realize that he was gay, and I would have really loved it if I'd known. But he either wasn't at that point or whatever. So I found that my relationship with David, there was a little bit of discomfort for me because, I didn't feel close to him. Like a boyfriend-girlfriend kind of budding girlfriend-boyfriend relationship.
When
I remember I always wanted to rehearse like those scenes in the van. We were all together, so I always wanted to rehearse. And also, I started shooting later than the three of them did, Kevin, Ray Dawn, and David Marshall Grant. So I kind of felt like a third wheel, and actually that sort of worked because Becky was a third wheel.
Yeah.
And I remember wanting to rehearse in the van, and Kevin, and no one else really wanted to rehearse, and then Kevin sticking up for me going, yeah, let's rehearse, and me always being very appreciative of that. Because I remember I was still young, and I hadn't done a lot of work. And we none of us really had, but to me, everybody had done more work than I. So I was intimidated. Ray Dawn had already come out with...
Commando, I think.
I think she'd also done the one where she played the early man or whatever. What was that?
Quest for Fire? Was that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's already come out with Quest for Fire. And so she pretty much, she seemed like an old veteran to me.
Right.
I remember that with John, I remember having one disagreement with John. And that was, I didn't want to say the line, well, I'll be a Fig Newton. Because I thought that was just, I never heard that. I never heard that phrase before. And in the films I'd done before, which hadn't been too many, you could sort of discuss with the director where, whether if something was uncomfortable, especially when it was a line that was, not that important, which this one seemed like. And I remember him getting mad at me and saying, just say the line, Alexandra. So I said it, and every time I see that line, I kind of cringe. I don't know how well I did. I think I did good for a line, which is, well, I'll be a Fig Newton,
Did you watch dailies of yourself?
Actually, what was kind of cool was that we were on location for pretty much all of it. We went to Kansas, St. Louis, Colorado, and Grand Junction. Sorry?
No, I was saying Colorado was one of the locations I know. Yeah.
Yes, Colorado, Grand Junction, and Boulder were the places that we... Grand Junction and Golden, which is right next to Boulder, were the places that we shot the longest. But we were also in St. Louis and then Kansas for just a few days and the lot at Warner Brothers for some of the scenes, the back lot. So we were on location a lot of time, and what was kind of neat was that there were screenings of the dailies in the hotel in a ballroom every night. So you could go in and watch them if you wanted to. I think I watched them. I can't remember. Sometimes directors don't, at least back then, I remember young directors didn't want young actors to watch their dailies because they thought they would get too
self-conscious and
down on themselves. Actors are very critical of themselves. But I recall walking in to a hotel room and watching some dailies. So I guess John didn't ban us.
Do you find that helpful to you?
Well, gosh, normally I don't get to watch dailies because it's so, it's just the movie's moving. And so that's just the way it is. But I think it's helpful, yeah. And it's helpful for many reasons. Now I look at a lot for lighting because I'm older and I care a lot about lighting. Back then I didn't care about light. I didn't know anything from lighting, right? But but I also find it helpful. I'm being totally honest here. The last film I did, I was in the first 3 days of shooting, I was in with the editor watching the lighting and seeing how that it would be better. And at the same time, I was watching my own performance, definitely seeing, okay, Alexandra, how are you too much? What's going on? How are you doing? That kind of thing. I always like to do that. I find
but
it
when,
very helpful. Very educational.
I'm sorry. When you watch American Flyers, or when you watched it after completing it, you said that this is one of your performances that you're happiest with. So you felt, how much of it in your mind do you feel translated into the finished film?
I think I was so young. I didn't have an expectation of how it would turn out. I'd only done two films that had been finished. There was another one that wasn't yet finished by the time I started American Flyers, I think. So I've done two or three projects, and so they never turn out the way you think. I mean, now I can't remember the scenes that were cut and the lines that were cut or the looks that were cut, but when you first see a film, if it's close to when you shot it, well, I'll speak for myself, I'm always really aware of, hey, how come they didn't put that in? You know, it's you're at the mercy of the editor. And then as the years soften your memory, you forget, like, gosh. I mean, I did the film 8 Million Ways to Die after American Flyers. I think it was the film I did right after American
Flyers.
Right
after, yeah.
Well, within the next year. And they cut half my scenes from that film, which was actually correct for the structure of the film. But, you know, at first when I first saw the film, it was like, oh, they cut that scene. Oh, darn it. You know, that kind of thing. But now I look at the film and I can't even remember the scenes they cut. So for American Flyers, it's the same thing. I can't really recall the looks they cut, the take they didn't use, that kind of thing.
Well, you mentioned 8 Million Ways to Die, and I actually wanted to ask you about that before we close off, because I'm insane about Hal Ashby. We did a tribute to Hal Ashby last year with John Voight and a couple of other people, and I know that wasn't the happiest of experiences on that film.
Well, for me it was. I mean, I was just in heaven to play a character like Sunny was. She was a prostitute, and just like Becky allowed me to kind of be goofy and hippie, which is very much in me, but I never explored it. Sunny let me be sexy and mysterious and naughty. I did the character, you know, got naked and did cocaine and had sex, and this was like cool. I'd never allowed anyone but my boyfriends to see my sexuality. I'm from Connecticut. I went to a prep school. You know, I was like, my mother is British. My dad is like a businessman. We were all very sort of like, you know, what was important was being nice and smart. Mm-hmm. Being sexy was like you weren't supposed to show that. And so having the opportunity to do that with Sunny was awesome, and really gave me a lot of it was a real acting challenge for me, and that's why I loved it. And so I was in heaven. And plus, gosh, I mean, Jeff Bridges is such a lovely man as a person and an incredible actor, and Andy Garcia too. And that was the role that got him noticed also. And being directed by Hal Ashby, I was happy. But you know, as an actor, I've learned to divorce myself from the production side. We started with a script that was written by, let's see,
Oliver Stone.
I think
did he write it?
It was originally written by Robert Stone, and then it was doctored by Robert Towne. Oliver Stone wrote it. Robert Towne rewrote it. We started shooting with 60 pages, and at the end of 60 pages, my character dies. Now, my character should die in the first 10 pages because that's the whole story. That's what catapults the story and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was when they cut all those scenes, I knew from an intellectual point of view, well, they should cut those scenes because Sunny stays alive way too long. After I got over that, which actually was fine because I was on to the next project by the time I learned about that. But then, I know that then the editors took the film away from Hal Ashby, an Academy Award winning, right, or just nominated, winning editor.
Winning, yeah.
Yeah, they took the film away from him and re-edited it. And let me tell you something, that film looks nothing like the script that we ended up. I know we started with 60 pages, then they rewrote it and got to 120 pages, and it looks nothing like that. And I learned then, that was a huge lesson for me. I was 23 and had been acting for 4 years, and realized that you don't have any control and you just have to give it up, because you can have Jeff Bridges, who was Academy Award winning for Starman, I think, didn't he? Or was it nominated?
It's his first time winning was for Crazy Heart.
Actually. Oh, okay. So he was nominated. And
yeah,
you've got
yeah.
Oliver Stone, you've got Robert Towne, you've got Hal Ashby, and you still get a film that ends up being totally changed around. And that a lot of people at the time thought was a total mess. Now I have friends who think it was genius, a genius film. So, you know.
It's a shame that we don't have an opportunity to see what Ashby's cut might have been of the film.
I think it would have been totally different. I wanted to say one thing about American Flyers is that...
Please, please.
I met three of my closest friends on that film. So it has remained in my heart such a special film. It was The Caterer with my friend Kate Sullivan. And she ended up rooming with me because the catering department was in such a horrible hotel. And I just saw her last week. And then my friend Daniel Slotik, who was the extras casting, became my manager years later. And we also started a nonprofit together called Young Artists United when we were in our early 20s. And Jim Dunlap, who was the accountant on the film, assistant accountant, and I just spoke to him yesterday, actually. So, and they're all still working in the business, doing incredibly well. And so it's really great to have friends 25 years and to have started with such a cool film.
Yeah.
So special with me. So what do I have coming up? I'm actually shooting a film now called Smash. And it's a really nice film. I play the mother of the lead girl who's a tennis phenom being pushed by her dad. And she's going through those teenage years where she's not sure she wants to play tennis. And it's going to be out in theaters. They've already pre-sold it, actually, to theaters. And I play a hippie mom, actually. So I just got it. Maybe I'm Becky, 25 years later, with a kid and an
it's all come all come full circle.
Yeah. So, and then I do a lot of films for Lifetime, and I have a film called The Boy She Met Online coming out also in a couple months, and another film where I play. Called the
Frankenstein Brothers.
Well, that I shot late last year, so that'll be coming out too. And I play the alcoholic mom. I play a lot of moms now, which actually I like a lot. I play moms to characters like Becky, and it's kind of weird because I think actors get to see all the different. We get to see ourselves grow and change, physically age. Emotionally grow and all that on screen, which is kind of neat, actually. It's actually really wonderful. And now I'm playing them on to kids that were my age when I was doing American Flyers.
Wow.
Yeah. So He's Such a Girl. He's Such a Girl. That's the film I have coming out. It should be out this year, and I love it because I play a really I play a really hard-ass boss, and It was a nice stretch for me because I'm kind of a mush, so it was nice to do that.
Well, I wish you the very best of luck with all of those, and I love American Flyers, and I'm so glad that you came on to talk about it with us.
Thank you. I'm very glad too, and I also am proud to be in American Flyers because I didn't know anything about cycling when I did that film, but. Now my husband is a triathlon coach and bicycles a lot, and he has a lot of friends who are cyclists, and they love American Flyers too. So I'm proud to be associated with it. It raises me in the eyes of my husband's friends. So
didn't you win a triathlon just a couple of years ago?
Well, I certainly didn't win, but yes, I was a triathlete. I did an Ironman, and I'm a So I trained a lot on the bike for a long time. So, but no, I'm far from a winner. I'm slow but steady. I'm willing and able, but I'm not fast.
Well, that's important.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.